My name is Christopher. I've been a part of this church now for a little while, just a few years. Few stuff's happened. But I have to say that I don't regret anything as being part of this family and being part of where God has called me to be. I come from Sydney originally. I lived on in a few different places, but I don't regret that either, even though Sydney was a very different place back then. But, you know, God has always ordered my steps and made them sure, as he says in his word. And so right here, right now, is where I'm supposed to be. Even in this moment, no matter how inadequate I feel, God has made provisions for that in his enormous grace. And I give him thanks for that this morning. And let's just pray and get into it. And then I'll get Linda to put the... Yep, done. Father, we just thank you this morning that indeed that you do order our steps. We're not here by accident. Every one of us has been called to this moment. Not even just where we are in our general day-to-day lives, but this here very moment, you want to meet with us and do what only you can do. And Father, we thank you in advance for the truth of your word and the truth of what you want to reveal to us this morning. And thank you for this great time of fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. God's manifest presence. Make way for the King. It's funny, you know, this church has always had a very family vibe, if I could use a Gen Z terminology. The family vibe is kind of the vibe of heaven. If we were to go to heaven, it wouldn't be a grand stage with everyone bowed before it. It's actually depicted in several instances as like having tables and places where people are seated. And the only places that you sit is when you're in a meeting with other people and you're having fellowship. And in heaven, there's a reverence, but there is also a beautiful familiarity with our Savior. So if that's the essence of heaven, and if that's his kingdom, then I just wonder, we have a great big lit-up sign at the front there before you get round the corner from the sound desk. It says, "Welcome home." And prophetically speaking, that's to all the people who are yet to come and find Jesus as their Savior or to be called to this place. But I'd like to also think that that sign is a sign for the Lord, that he is welcome here and that he can make his home here. Because it's under that that we can get a sense of his kingdom on earth. So I just got another slide if you want to go on, Linda. I thought that was kind of unique picture. I was sort of trying to find the right picture to grab the essence of what I'm talking about here. But there's a diverse range of people there. And it's not even just about skin tone, it's age, it's all sorts of things. And there might be barriers that people would put on that, or I don't know, everyone's background is different. I certainly don't see any barriers. But those lines become erased when the conditions are right. The Lord, he dwells in a specific set of circumstances and conditions. And we want to, because in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer says, let's just go back, just trying to think what the Lord's Prayer starts with. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is a true desire of the Lord, that we would desire that, that His kingdom and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the conditions under which have a lot to do with how we are responding to Him. Because in a church where the Lord is present, there is a lot of power and a lot of connection to the things that only He has to offer. So the Lord is our healer. So naturally in His presence there is healing. The Lord is our refuge and our stronghold. So naturally in His presence there is refuge, safety, strength, revival, reviving of ourselves. Because I think a while ago I shared a prophetic word that God put on me. It's like, you know, this is a place where I come up for air in the world and all the circumstances in my own personal life and all of the worrisome things and events of the world. This is where I come up for air because He is a refuge and a strong tower, a hope that goes beyond this world. And therefore, the presence and the air of heaven, it sits above anything, and it is like a strong tower. So, why wouldn't a church want to make the Lord more comfortable to be here? I mean, okay, let's explore that for a minute. Sorry, that was a bit of a statement. So, just bear with me, Linda. Can we just skip ahead one slide beyond the one that will come next? So there's always the question, well, isn't God always with us? You know, and there's scriptures that tell us that God is with us. Matthew 28:20. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So that's His promise. He is here. He is here. And Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? So, logically, God is always present according to His word. But I just wonder, what is the difference between everyday life and God being present and experiencing God in a way that stands out as an exceptional experience, like ones that we may have had in our experiences growing up as Christians, where the Lord touches you in a particular moment and you feel the impact of what He wants for you, for your life, for a group of people. He might do a lot of healings in one particular moment, or He might have encountered you at your weakest moment and given you revelation, saved you, drawn you out, given you peace supernaturally in the context of meeting together or even by yourself. What is it that God puts in place that allows that to happen? And I'd like to challenge us to say, well, we are actually responsible. We are responsible. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Which basically means let's be conscious of how weighty His name is and His presence. So if a royal family was to visit here today, there would be, I dare say, more than a few preparations that would need to occur for them to be welcome here or to even think about walking in the door. Can't just go, hello, this is Charles, can I come in? You know, like, just, it's not like that. If you really want the presence of the King, then preparations would need to be made for Him to arrive in a way that represents His full manifest presence. So there is a presence, He is here, He is always with us, but the effect that He can have in our presence depends greatly on this conditional environment. So if we go back to that second slide, please, Linda, or the third slide, whatever it is. Okay. So here's a few that I thought of. Holiness. The Lord is not able to be present where sin is present. He is holy. There is no shadow of turning in His presence. Forgiveness. And these are not just things, I'm not necessarily just meaning about like He can't be there. It's like, these are things that will impact our ability to receive and acknowledge and have our attention drawn to His presence. If we have things against other people, as in Mark 11, we have to forgive that person if we're expecting our prayers to be heard. So these are like almost like barriers, but, you know, I'm trying to make it the positive side, you know. Forgiveness actually attracts His presence. Thanksgiving and praise. Now that's a huge one. Because in Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name." And so that's always the way in. You know, sometimes the most powerful moments, and I've said this often, is when we have many reasons not to praise Him according to our circumstances and what we perceive as our lack. And yet we decide to find a reason to give Him the glory that He deserves. No matter how hard it is, no matter how much it doesn't look like that the temporary stuff is not lining up, when we say, "God, thank You," and we purposefully remember what He's done and what He's capable of and His character that exists outside of our circumstances, there's something really powerful in that moment. If you can just determine in your heart and in your present moment where you're at, that you're going to praise Him no matter what. You know, like in the car on the way home from work, you know, I will have had a heck of a day, if you pardon the word. But it's just, you know, like the last thing I want to do is start praising God. Not that that's, you know, inherently what I think, but in the moment, you're just like, just got nothing. But it's amazing how He will fill you up when you open your mouth and you give Him thanks. And you know, like there's lots of studies on gratitude, and that's not necessarily an intellectual thing, that's actually a spiritual principle. In psychology, they reckon that that's quite an important factor to help you get over depression and all sorts of other things, but it is actually a spiritual thing that God in designed from the start. Obedience. John 14:23 says, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves Me will obey My teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." And Acts 5:32 says, "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." So there's an attraction to the obedience. God moves towards obedience. And then repentance. Everyone knows this scripture. Well, most people might do. "If My people who are called by My name will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." So that sounds like a response from God. So He will move towards that. So I'm just going to, all those scriptures, you can take note of those and read for yourself, but I just want to get through them for a minute. Prayer and faith. So coming to the Lord, and without faith it is impossible to please God. So if you want to be pleasing to God, let's come with a little bit of expectation that he's going to do what he said he's going to do, and that who he is who he is. So let's come with that. There's no way you can please him. So, you know, we're all thinking about, like, try and frame this in the mind of, you know, like, this is not a set of rules or conditions. This is like, if you're going to be friends with God, if he's going to sit and imbibe with you and dwell with you, these are some of the things that he cares deeply about. Think of it in that frame rather than a rules or an approaching an inapproachable God. This is a God who is with you always, and he wants to be with you. And these are some of his relational styles, if you want, for want of a better word. Humility. That's a big one. Because it kind of suggests that you know that you can't make it by yourself. You know, proud people seem to have this habit of thinking that they don't need anybody or they don't need any extra information or help. Humility acknowledges that I'm incomplete and I don't necessarily have all the answers. And because he loves that, because he does have all the answers. And he would love to come and meet you in your weakness. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. So, there's a few conditions. Just going to focus in on a couple of things here. So thanksgiving and praise, that's on the next slide. So there's the scriptures there. People who can experience his tangible presence are vetted by these two very important requirements. You'll never find a church where God manifests and makes his presence known and felt where there is complaining and ungrateful hearts. That's, as I said earlier, when I choose to praise, that's like the opposite of what I'd like to do, which is complain and have some sort of gripe about the day that I had. But rather, it's something, I really think that it's a sword. It's like a powerful weapon to fight back with the truth of who God is in your life. You can't expect God to have some power in your life without these very important aspects. And when we come on a Sunday morning as a church, I would hope that we come with an expectation that comes through our thankfulness of what he's done and our praise of what he's going to do in this place. No use turning up every Sunday and just going through that motion of, you know, oh, this is a lovely song about the Lord. What is your expectation of him? Because he wants to turn up. He wants to be there, and he has a character that we can praise. He is good. He is our healer. He is our redeemer. No matter what you've done, you can actually rest assured that the guilt and the shame and the sin, the sin that was ascribed to Jesus has been taken away from you. And that alone is reason enough to praise him, because he has done it. It's finished. One of the things I was telling a new person in the faith, and I've sort of been helping him along, was that, you know, no matter what happens, mate, wherever you get to in your Christian walk, remember the cross. Come back to the fact that your sins no longer count against you because of Jesus and his blood. This is something we can pin up always in our, you know, if you've got nothing else, praise about that one. Invite him into your circumstances by praising him about what he's done and thanking him for that. And we really do need a guard about what we say. Like Sandra preached last week, that actually is inviting the Lord's presence to become a manifest thing in your life. He is welcome through your words. Let's move on. There's another scripture, Psalm 95, on the next slide, Linda. So coming before the Lord with thanksgiving. So these are things that the Lord is pleased to receive. Next slide. Faith. So it's pretty simple. If you don't believe Jesus wants and can heal you, you will never see it happen. You have to believe this. God responds when we believe Him for the impossible. He's all too happy to show up in our impossibilities. As Jesus said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. There's a scripture up there, talks about belief. Those who believe in my name, they will. And all those things represent things that Jesus did, and He was the manifest presence of God on earth. Next slide, Hebrews 11. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him, there's that invite to becoming closer and in His presence, must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Faith is like an access that we have through Christ. And humility on the next slide. There you go. That's pretty plain to see, isn't it? Psalm 5:5, the arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. Proverbs 22:4, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches, honor, and life. So humility is like, you know, the king comes in, like King Charles walks in this room, there will be a certain level of fear because of the power that he holds and the office and the weight of what he holds. He would walk in the door and we would all have been briefed to stand in certain places and to make the appropriate gestures and call the appropriate names. So therefore, would it not be fitting that the King of Kings should have the same level of respect, not only in our lives and in our personal life, but in as a corporate body? What is it that our church, what are some of the things that, because I see a lot of it. I see a lot of the things that make the Lord attracted and welcome here, and protocol that is followed, like loving one another and serving one another and gratefulness and gentleness and meekness and mildness, all the things that exist in the presence of the Spirit of God, the fruit and the things that He likes. There's a lot of it here. And I'm just wondering, is there anything in your life that the Lord, Holy Spirit, is touching you about that would facilitate His presence more? Because not only is it about what you're receiving in your life and how close He is to you and what you experience day to day in your life, but what is it that you bring here that facilitates? Because when we gather together, it's a totally different experience. Yes, you can have power in your life and you can be fruitful, and you know, because I know there's a lot of Christian ministers out there that do just have their personal ministries and they walk around and they touch people and they experience God's presence and they evangelize and share the gospel. But then when people come together who are of the faith, there is a corporate anointing, if you would pardon the terminology, that actually is a greater thing. It's a place where we can become encouraged and the Lord's presence can change the atmosphere around us. I'm just going to share one thing that I think is relevant, because someone touched on the fact that we are we're actually valued here. I don't know what it was about the prophetic word, but there was a moment where we talked about, you know, removing the barriers. That's right, the guilt. Because what you actually have, don't hold it back. The Lord has actually placed something very precious in all of you that is needed for God's presence to manifest. And I'll just prove that to you now with some scripture. One Peter. I haven't got this on a slide, so don't panic, Linda. Yeah, sorry, we've put Linda through her paces today. God bless. 1 Peter 2, 4 to 5 says, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God, precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are actually forming a house as living stones where God can reside. And in 1 Corinthians 12... I hope this is the scripture I was remembering. Verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So there's kind of a little bit of a partnership going on. So, could it be hypothesized or put forward to you that his manifest presence is actually something that we can facilitate as people who have received a measure of the Spirit? And that way, if you believe that God is with you, not only just to save you, but to build the house of the Lord as a living stone, this might actually encourage you to pursue the fact that you are gifted and called for this place. Such a time as this, where God is doing the work necessary to prepare the ground for the great harvest that he is doing. I have seen it already. I've seen hearts turning. But what we need is for God's overwhelming presence and revelation to fall and to come down, come to earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. See, I don't know about anyone else, but some of the most powerful moments in my Christian walk not only have been the day-to-day choices, but the Lord meeting me in a supernatural way, manifesting either through a group setting, through praise, thanksgiving, worship in a corporate setting, but also individually and allowing him to touch me and convict me and dealing with my own self, allowing him more room and to feel welcome. And I think it's very prophetic that we have these chairs here. I know that they are just a nice place for people when we interview them, and it's good. It's fine. Yeah. But I do believe that God wants to have a place. He wants to have a chair here. And when we come together, it shouldn't just be about ticking a box or getting filled up yourself. But there is actually a bigger thing here where God wants to be enthroned in our lives and in our time here together. And when that happens, boy, there is going to be something that not even the world could stay away from. They need what we have and what he has. So let's make a choice today to prepare him room in Jesus' name.